You're listening to The Family Podcast from PursueGod.org.
Parents, I am excited to be back exploring this book by Paul Tripp called The 14 Gospel Principles That Can Radically Change Your Parenting. If you have not caught the other two that we've done already, please go back and listen to those. It's just kind of following along with the book. I'm gathering some of these principles and putting them together and giving more depth to some and less to others. So it's great to buy the book, to read it. Paul Tripp has a lot of excellent information. And this podcast is really to kind of give you some overview and some other things to think about, and really also some tools of just helping you to have a conversation with your spouse, with your small group, with a mentor. Because we all know that parenting can be a challenge. And I think all of us feel like we enter into this phase of parenting, wondering if we have what it takes, if we're going to break our kids some way. But I feel like what Paul Tripp really does a good job of in this book is just reminding us of what the point of parenting is, that we're ambassadors, that our calling is to help point our kids to the Lord, to point our kids to the gospel, that we need Jesus, that we're broken, that we're sinners. And that includes us as parents, that we come to parenting, recognize that we're also broken, that we're not perfect, that we won't execute perfectly on everything. But through the gospel, through Jesus, through the transforming of our hearts and our minds as we walk with him, he gives us what we need so that we can lead our kids well. And we're pointing our kids to have that kind of relationship with Jesus themselves. So today, we're going to focus on two principles. But to start us out, I just want all of us to think about that moment, whether you've been on an airplane and your kids are having a meltdown and people are staring at you and you know in your mind, you're thinking, I know what they're saying. They're saying you're a terrible mom. You don't have your act together. You clearly don't have any structure in your home. It could be in Target in a meltdown. You're just trying to get your groceries and your kid is screaming and you don't know what to do. For a lot of parents, I think we have these moments where we honestly feel like we are on display and everyone is looking at us and judging us based on what our kids are doing or not doing. And so we almost feel like we're auditioning. We're trying to prove that we're valuable and worthwhile, but we're putting the onus on what our kids are doing. And so what Paul Tripp wants to say to us in this principle, he calls it the principle of identity. And what he says is, if you are not resting as a parent in your identity in Christ, you're going to look for your identity in your children. And what he calls that is when we lose sight of our vertical identity, when we lose sight of the fact that we are new creations in Christ, that we come to the Lord offering him nothing, that he makes us new, he gives us the wisdom, knowledge, the understanding that we need, the skills that we need to succeed and to live a life that honors him. When we lose sight of that vertical identity, then we start to look for it in other things. And it can be in our money, it can be in our job, it can be in our friends or our status. But for a lot of us, it's in our kids, that we end up looking at our kids and wanting to prove our value and worth based on what they're doing. And so we're going to explore that a little bit today and how toxic that really is. So you might be asking, what does that mean, this principle of identity, that my identity is in Christ? Well, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, the new life has begun. Now, we've talked about this passage before, but it's really important. Again, Tripp's whole point is that we're using the gospel as our guiding force for ourselves and for our parenting, that we understand that we don't have value and worth outside of who Jesus says that we are. He's the creator. He created us. He gave us our personality. He gives us our skills and abilities and a plan for our life. So when we're in step with that, we're walking in this new life where we walk away from the old stuff. You know, for some of you, maybe you came to marriage and you're parenting with a lot of stuff in your past and a brokenness, but the gospel says that you're made new. So even our past failures as parents, like every day can be a new day of saying, Lord, I release that to you. I repent of the things that I do when I get angry and I lash out at my kids. Like every day is a new day. We're new creations in Christ. He's changing our hearts every day as we submit to him, as we submit to his word, as we go to him in prayer, he's making us new. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he's done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And then you're going to know what God's will for you is, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. So again, here's Paul again talking about this idea that let's not let the world tell us what gives us value and worth or what good parenting looks like or doesn't look like. Let's go to God and let Him transform the way we think. Let Him make us into a new person. And as we submit to Him, then He's going to show us what His will is for us. It's going to be clearer. It's going to be good. It's going to be safe because we're following His will and going His way. So parents, that's what we want to have, is that we have our vertical identity clear, that our identity is in Christ, that we're submitted to Him, that we're training our kids, that we're remembering our calling as parents, as ambassadors, leading our kids to understand who Jesus is for them as well. But when we lose sight of that, that's when we start looking to things around us. And for a lot of us, we start to find, let's put the pressure on our kids to make us feel valuable and worthwhile. Here's what he says. If you're not resting in your vertical identity, you will look horizontally, searching to find yourself and your reason for living in something in the creation. That could be your possessions, accomplishments, your career, your spouse, your children, and the list goes on. The problem with this is that created things were never designed to give you identity. They were never designed to satisfy your heart and give you peace. They were not made to give you meaning and purpose. Every good thing in creation is designed to point you to the one who alone is able to give you your identity, peace, and meaning that your heart seeks. So you can see how when we get that wrong, when we get our identity wrong and where we're looking to find our value and worth, we end up putting undue pressure on our kids because they start to feel that. They feel like they then need to perform. If you're kind of coming down hard on them, that they didn't bring good grades home or they weren't the star on the field that day, and they see your reaction to that and your anger or your dissatisfaction, like what that's training them to think is, well, maybe there's something wrong with me. Mom and Dad seem pretty worked up about the fact that I'm not on the honor roll again. You know, what does that mean about me? And I know that parents, that's not our heart. Our heart isn't to want to create insecurity in our kids. But when we start to look to our kids and their performance and what they're doing and what they're not doing as making us feel good about ourselves as parents, that's the wrong order of things. Remember, we're the parents and our calling is to lead our kids to Jesus, right? Lead them to understand what God's plan and His will, what's good, what's right, what's pleasing. But if we're so wrapped up in insecurity that we're looking to our kids for something to give us, we have that totally out of line. And in fact, as I was thinking about this principle, I was reflecting on that in my own life, because for me, I feel like I'm not sure if I would say that I was completely wrapped up in my identity and my kids, but here's the pressure that I felt. I'm a pastor's wife and I'm a counselor. So there were definitely were times where when my kids maybe had a meltdown on the field or in the game, or they were gossiping about someone, you know, and another parent had to call me and be like, hey, your kid was mean to my kid. It did create in me like this angst of like, oh man, what are they thinking about me? I'm a counselor. I'm supposed to know how to, you know, help people have healthy relationships. I should be a good parent. And then of course, as a pastor's wife, I'm thinking, you know, pastor's kids are supposed to be good kids. And so what are people really thinking about me? And I definitely had to fight that tendency to get wrapped up more in like, what are people thinking about me? And putting the pressure like, so kids, you better perform and you better be the best you can be for me as your mom. And that's just not right. It's not fair. Here's what Tripp says in the book. He calls it vertical identity amnesia, leaves us all too worried about what others think about us and what we're doing. It produces in many parents a fear of man that causes us to hide and deny our struggles and present to the world children who are more perfect than any other children actually are. And when you are too concerned about your public face as a parent, you don't seek the help you need in your struggle, because in order to seek that help, you'd have to admit that you're not doing so well. So that to me, in addition to just getting out of order, losing your vertical identity and putting pressure on our kids to perform and to be what we need them to be so we feel good about ourselves, it's also, are we training ourselves and our kids to be like, you just put on the good face. We're a happy, healthy family. Don't air our dirty laundry. We would never ask for help because we're supposed to be perfect. And man, what a sad reality that is. Like, we should, again, if we come back to the gospel message, we're all broken. None of us are going to be perfect parents. So even for me as a counselor and a pastor's wife, to be able to say to people close to me, like, man, this is embarrassing for me. I'm so sorry. You know, we work with our kids on this and this was a mistake, and we're going to teach our kids to say, I'm sorry. And that I had to learn humility. Like, I'm not going to be prideful. I know that I'm not a perfect person. And so what can happen is then if our kids feel like we just want to hide the things that aren't good, like, that's not living out the gospel message. We are broken. We are sinful people, and the grace and mercy of Christ makes us new. So when we rob our kids of seeing that message of grace and mercy in action, because as parents, we're saying, don't tell anyone about our stuff. We're going to just pretend to be something that we're not. That's totally misguided direction and does not point to the gospel and what the gospel message is all about. So parents, when we think about this principle of identity, I really challenge you, again, as I've said from the beginning, you know, we have to have our own relationship with the Lord. We have to have our own understanding of who we are in Christ before we can lead our kids towards that same thing. If we don't know it, then we can't lead our kids towards that. So think about this, that if there are things in your life that you're putting pressure on your kids, that you're worried about reputation, that you're, you know, they have to be on the honor roll, they have to make the team, they have to be the star, you know, that you hide the struggles that you have, you would never go to a counselor or to your pastor or to anyone to talk about some of your struggles, you might be losing out on the vertical identity. You might have that amnesia where you're forgetting that our first access point is who we are in Christ, and not let the stuff in the horizontal world be the thing that has the most defining things about us or controls us and makes us feel either good or bad about ourselves. So I just really challenge you to keep that in mind as you move along. Now, the second part of our podcast today is we're going to talk about another principle. And this is also can be a challenging one, because I think as parents, we want to kind of just sit our kid down, have the one conversation, you know, bring out a great scripture verse and even tell them to memorize it, and then feel like we're like done. You know, we have one talk, we've accomplished the task, and we'll never have to revisit that subject again. And then in reality, you see that same behavior come back around 48 hours later. And you're like, oh my gosh, I thought we had this conversation. I thought we were clear. Like, you know, you don't tell a lie. You're not late for your curfew, whatever it is. And then you see your kid repeat the same thing. And I think the problem is, it's the principle of process is what Tripp calls it. And the principle is stated as this: you must be committed as a parent to long view parenting, because change is a process, not an event. So I know that I've been guilty of this, that especially when my kids were a little bit younger, whether it was sharing, whether it wasn't grabbing something out of another kid's hand or pushing a kid to get out of the way. It's like, that was an ongoing thing of teaching my kids from a young age. It wasn't just one conversation I had with my 2 or 3 year old and then I never had to revisit that. And I think as parents, sometimes we just want the quick fix. We want to just say it all in one conversation and hope that they get it and we never have to address it again. And that's just simply not the reality. Parenting is a lifelong journey. It's a process. It's not one conversation. Here's what he says in the book. Since change is most often a process and seldom an event, you have to remember that you can't look for a dramatic, transformational conclusion to your encounters with your children. Seldom is change the result of a dramatic moment. So you have partial conversations and unfinished moments, but in each moment, you're still imparting wisdom to your child. Each moment, you're exposing your child's heart. Each moment, you're building your child's self-awareness. Each moment, you're enlivening your children's conscience. Each moment, you're giving your child great God awareness. Each moment, you're constructing a biblical worldview for your child. And each moment, you're giving the Spirit of God an opportunity to do things in your child that you cannot do. So remember that as parents, it's like a million conversations. It's over the course of when they can start to comprehend, you know, as those toddler years and building on that through the elementary years, through the junior high years to high school. And then when they're ready to leave, like you've imparted that wisdom, you've taught them, you've trained them, you've given them the understanding of why obedience is always better, that as they obey you, that eventually then that obedience goes, they want to obey the Lord, that they're building an awareness of their own brokenness, right? Again, with that gospel principle in mind, that as you have to correct them and as discipline becomes a part of their life and your interaction with them, it's training them to have an understanding that they're sinful, that they need to say, I'm sorry, that God wants something better for them, that they're learning that what Jesus can do for them and change their heart and make them into a new creation, that that's not just one conversation. It's ongoing. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. Training up a child is over years. And that isn't a promise that if you do all this training well, that you end up with this wonderful kid. I mean, we've known plenty of people in our life that have come back to this. Like, I feel like we trained our kids to know Jesus. We taught the Bible in our home. We did, you know, all of the things that we feel like we should have done as good Christian parents, but our kids still have their own free will. They're still going to make their own decisions. So it's not a promise, but it is a principle that if you're active in your parenting, if you're training up your kids every day to understand God's word, to understand his heart for them, to point them to the gospel, that's an ongoing training thing that gives your kids the best possible opportunity to make that confession of faith for themselves as they go along. You know, parents, I think it's good for us to think about, you know, if one day you decide you want to run a marathon, right? You're going to train for a marathon. You don't just wake up the day of the race and go run 26.2 miles, right? No, you're like starting small, incrementally, you're building endurance and you're increasing your distance over time to ready you for that ultimate run. And I think we need to think about that as parents, that the principle of process is it's a marathon level pace. It's not one conversation. It's not jamming everything you'd ever want to say to your kid in one conversation that turns into a lecture. They tune you out. That's not revealing your heart for them. And it's certainly not how God deals with us. It's a lot of mini conversations. That's the whole heart behind what we're doing at PursueGod.org, is equipping people to have conversations that are biblically based, that point people to the gospel, that point people to wanting to live their whole heart and whole life for the Lord. And so with your kids, like, it's conversations after dinner. It's conversations before you go to bed. You know, it's that Deuteronomy 6 thing again. It's like while you're walking on the road, when you get up in the morning, when you go to bed, like that, these conversations that are about training and teaching your kids right and wrong and the values that they should care about that are biblically based, like that happens over many, many conversations over many, many years. And that's what's going to breed trust with your kids, that they're going to see that you have love and care for them. And it's not going to be that I'm just in a lecture mode and I'm just telling you all these things and I hope you figure it out. Like, you're training them, you're shepherding their heart, you're teaching them along the way. Here's something Tripp says at the end of that particular principle. He says that for parents in this process mentality, to think about like project mentality, like especially when your kids are young, choose one or two behaviors you want to start to key in on and start having meaningful conversations towards those things. So let's say it's sharing or telling the truth or being able to say, I'm sorry. Like, you're focusing on just a couple of those behavioral things that you see coming up in your kids and just finding Bible verses, talking about it, praying about it at night. Like, Lord, you know, that your little kiddo would be able to say, Lord, I want to be better about not hitting brother or sister when I get angry. And that you just kind of focus on one or two things and just be really intentional about pointing to those things and giving those moments teachable moments so that your kids have time to be like, okay, you're right. Doing things in anger, like, it hurts me when somebody hits me. So why would I want to hit brother or sister? We're supposed to be kind, right? The fruit of the spirit that starts to grow in their heart when they give their life to Jesus is self-control. So he calls that a project mentality. So that's a good practical thing to just maybe pick one or two behaviors you want to focus on at a time and be intentional in focusing on those in teaching and training your kids through that. So I hope this was helpful today, talking about the principle of identity and the principle of process. Parents, be patient. I know that it can be a challenge and it's easy to want to just find our value and worth, or at least our barometer of if we're good or bad at parenting based on how our kids are doing. But that's an unfair pressure to put on them. Let's keep our vertical identity in place and let's remember that parenting is a lifelong journey. It's a process. It's over time. It's training every day. And hopefully that gives you like new purpose and new focus moving forward.
Thanks for listening. If you haven't already, please consider rating our podcast. It's a simple way to help us reach more people. Find more resources to talk about these topics with your small group, family, or mentor on pursuegod.org.